I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Turn with me to the 7th chapter of Revelation. And you will notice the emphasis of the Lamb in this chapter. Look at verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Very interesting to notice that there's no one alongside the Lamb, either to his right or left. No one behind him, but they are all in front of him. They stand before the Lamb. That means that he has his eye on every one of us. If he was looking to the side, he couldn't see the people at the other side. If he was looking back, he couldn't see the people in front. But thank God, we're all in front of him. He never lifts his eye from looking upon us. That's a lovely thought, to know that the Lord's eye is upon us. And then when you come down to the next verse, it says, and they were crying with a loud voice. They had all clear, loud voices. And they were saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. They were addressing him. He was looking at them, and they were shouting with a loud voice. Thank God there'll be no dummies in heaven. Every man and woman will have their mouth opened, and they'll have a good set of eternal teeth and a good tongue of in a resurrected body, and they'll all be shouting with a loud voice. And then when we come down a little bit farther, we find that these are white in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 14, they're white in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus for his cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What a great thing it is to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And then you will notice in the 17th verse, the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. The Lamb is in the midst of the throne. How could we speak on such a tremendous theme? The Lamb of God. The Almighty Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. What a theme. Worthy is the Lamb. What a testimony. Worthy is the Lamb. What a triumph. Worthy is the Lamb. What a tempest. Worthy is the Lamb. What a tumult. Oh, they're all talking in heaven about the Lamb. Their conversation throughout all the eons of an unspending eternity is about the Lamb. For the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. The hymn writer wrote, "Oh, for a bright celestial ray to bear my thoughts and soul away to glory's boundless, blissful scene, and sing the Lamb that once was slain. There all the harps and choirs above dwell on His vast, His wondrous love. Divine the notes and sweet the strain. Worthy the Lamb that once was slain. With them we gladly, humbly join in works so pleasant, so divine. His death is our eternal gain. Worthy the Lamb that once was slain. Worthy to sit enthroned above. Worthy of all our praise and love. Worthy forever there to reign. Worthy the Lamb that once was slain. Let His dear name fill all our songs. Let His sweet praise employ our tongues. Sing on till we with Him shall reign. Worthy the Lamb that once was slain." It was Samuel Rutherford, the saintly covenanting preacher, who said so sweetly, "Jesus, that flower of Jesse, getting many a blast, and yet He withers not, because He is His Father's noblest rose, casting a sweet smell through heaven and earth, and that must grow. And in the same garden grow the saints, God's fair and beautiful lilies, under wind and rain, and all sunburnt, and yet life remains at the root. Keep, dear believer, within the garden of Emmanuel, and you shall grow with the flowers. You shall grow with the flowers till the great husbandman, our dear master gardener, comes and transplants you from the lower part of the vineyard up to the higher, to the very heart of His garden, above all the wrongs of rain and sun and wind. And then wait upon the times of the blowing of the sweet south and north wind of His gracious Spirit, and bid your beloved to come down to you in His own garden, and He will come. You will get no more but this until you come up to the wellhead, where you shall put your hand and take down the apples of the tree of life, and eat under the shadow of that tree. Your old guide shall go before you, and take you by the hand. His love to you will not grow sour, nor wear out of date, as the love of man, which groweth old, and grey-haired often before themselves. Surely, surely, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. I trust that tonight God will reveal His Son to you, and that you will walk in part of Emmanuel's land. I want to start this meditation this evening in its never-ending throne. And what is it? It's the throne of God and of the Lamb. If you turn over to the fifth chapter of Revelation, what do you read there? You read there about the singing of that new song. You read there about the glory of the Savior. We read there of the 24 elders that fell down and worshipped Him. And you'll read there in verse 9, they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. When we read this book of Revelation, you will find that there are two great glories that we're going to share in. First of all, there is the millennial glory. For 1,000 years, our blessed Savior will reign over this world. This world that has been torn with strife, ruined by sin, cursed by the fall, and under the domination of Satan. But thank God, Jesus will come on His white horse, and He will put down all dominion and all power, and the devil will be chained for 1,000 years. And on this very earth, where sin reigned and the devil reigned, praise God, we are going to reign on the earth. That's what this text of Scripture says. We shall reign on the earth. Of course, after that 1,000 years, if you read Revelation 19 and 20, you'll find the interesting prophecy that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to change this world. And this world that we have reigned on will pass away, and a new earth and a new heaven will take its place. And we shall be with Christ not for 1,000 years then, but for all eternity. And we'll be in the land of glory and of power. So there's two glories in this book. Mr. Spurgeon, in one of his great sermons, put it very well. He said, yet this much we have learned most clearly, that on this earth, where sin and Satan gain victory over God through the fall of man, Christ is to achieve a complete triumph over all His foes. Not in another battlefield, but in this very battlefield. The fight is not over. It commenced by Satan's attack upon our mother Eve. And Christ has never left the field from that day until now. This fight will last in the end for 1,000 years. It will grow sterner every day. It is not over, and it never shall be stayed until the serpent's head will be totally broken and Christ shall have gotten unto him a perfect victory. Do not think, dear child of God, that the Lord will allow Satan to have even so much as one battle to call his own. In the great campaign, when the history shall be written, The last word shall be, the Lord reigneth. All along the line, He hath gotten him the victory. There shall be a victory in every place and every spot, and the conquest of Jesus Christ of this world shall be complete and perfect. Satan, thou mayest boast of what thou hast done, and thou mayest think thy scepter still secure, but Christ cometh, even he who rides upon the white horse of victory. And when he comes, thou shalt not stand before him, for the two-edged sword which goeth out of his mouth shall drive thee and thy host back to the place from whence thou camest. Let us rejoice that the Scripture is so clear and so explicit upon this great doctrine of the future triumph of Christ over this whole world. Yes, the Lord will reign over this very earth. All will lick the dust at His feet. Notice the words of verses 9 and 10. We shall reign on the earth in the happiest, holiest, and highest era that this old world ever experienced. Christ will be the light thereof. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light. Those who are ignorant with the darkness of no understanding shall be enlightened, and we shall all know even as we are known. Do you remember the Queen that came to see and hear the great King Solomon? And when she heard Solomon speak, when she saw the wonder of his palace and of his servants, what did she say? The half has not been told me. No one could tell the half of what Christ is going to do when he comes back to this world. What music there will be. What songs there will be. What applause there will be. What shouts there will be. What acclamations will there be. Christ will be the topmost mountain of all the mountains elsewhere. He will be the widest river of all the streams. Christ will be the soul and seal of it all. But let us turn now from the millennial glory of the eternal Savior to His eternal glory. The glory of the new heaven and the new earth in which dwelleth righteousness, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Turn over with me to the 12th chapter of the book of the Revelation. And in that 12th chapter, you'll read of that great wonder in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is a picture of the church. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And in verse 11, we read these great words of victory. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and we'll shout the victory. Old Joseph Irons, the great preacher, said, we can enjoy the fullness of joy. Hark how the choir around the throne adore their glorious King. They drink full draughts of bliss unknown and hallelujah sing. They range from heaven's unmeasured plain and find new cause for praise. See more of Jesus and again loud hallelujahs raise. And on the pearly gates unfold, an air of bliss draws nigh. Again they strike their harps of gold and hallelujah cry. Another sinner born of God makes heaven's vast concave ring. Again they Jesus' love record and hallelujah sing. At last the ransomed throng complete is glorified throughout. Again they bow at Jesus' feet and hallelujah shout. Ere long I hope to join the throng who bow before the King and in one everlasting song my hallelujah bring. In heaven there will not be any more need for any of our creature comforts. They shall hunger no more. There is no hunger in heaven. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4. There's no aging of the body. There's no tiredness. You'll never lift up your foot in heaven and say, I have a sore toe. There's no sore toes in heaven. No raiment but the white robes that never wear out and can never be soiled. We will toil not, neither will we spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory will not be arrayed the way we'll be arrayed in the day when we make the gates and pass through to our everlasting abode and reward. No medicine of any kind is ever used in heaven. No sleep is needed. They never set an alarm clock to get up early. They're always up and about. No pain is ever felt. Their songs and their praises never cease. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's Lamb. Jesus reigns and rules forever. But could I say the joy of Christ is the unbreakable tie of no separation? Jesus loves us. Jesus made choice of us. Jesus bought us. Jesus washed us. Jesus has robed us. Jesus has kept us. Jesus will glorify us. We are saved through him and through him alone. In heaven, there is a continual warmth of inward joy because we have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Calvary's heights shall I trace, its summit and its depths of grace. Count the purple drops and say, thus my sins were passed away. Further light is in the course of heaven's beauty. You take away the light and the beauty is gone. Beauty requires light to display its glory. No light, no beauty. Light is the mother of beauty. If the light goes, the beauty goes. God alone can impart His beauty to us. And thank God He does and He will. In the light of the Scripture, there is knowledge. The hymn writer said, "The spacious earth and spreading flood proclaim the wise and powerful God, and thy rich blessing from afar sparkle in every rolling star. But in his looks a glory stands, the noblest labor of our hands, the pleasing luster of his eyes outshines the wonder of the skies. We need no light of the sun, or of the moon, or of any star where Jesus is shining. We shall know more in 5 minutes in heaven than we have known by years of study on earth. We will know more in 1 minute in heaven than the greatest scholars studying for a lifetime. Christ shall teach us with shouts of joy and shouts of praise, and we will know even as we are known." What a statement that is. That you'll know God even as God knows you. It staggers definition. "Worthy the Lamb that died," the saints cry, "to be exalted thus. Worthy the Lamb," our lips reply, "for he was slain for us." Christ is heaven. No Christ, no heaven. No Christ, everlasting hell. What will it be for you when you pass over the deep, dark river of the Jordan of death? I would say to you, unbeliever, trust in the Lamb now. Trust in His blood to cleanse you. Trust in His grace to save you. Trust in His Spirit to seal you. Trust in His bond to keep you. Trust in His power to enable you. Trust Him in His strength to keep you forevermore, world without end. Amen. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my side. Then He'll bear me safely over, and with the saints of God I will reside. Isn't it a great thing to be saved? Isn't it a great thing to be washed in the blood? Isn't it a great thing to be sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption? May God renew our love for His blessed Son, the Lamb of God. And may God give us a heart that's broken in its love for souls. And may we go out to preach Him and to teach Him and to lead men and women to the Lord, who alone is everlasting life. May God bless His word and this meditation to our hearts tonight, for Jesus' sake.